It's over, Johnny. It's over!
Nothing is over! Nothing! You just don't turn it off!
Hello, and welcome to another edition of The Subbeacon. I'm Victor Mattis, along with Sonny Bunch and Jonathan V. Last. Just a reminder, The Subbeacon was available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. You could have looked at a podcast and searched for Subbeacon. You would have easily found us. You should have subscribed, told your friends, and left a review.
What? So much past tense.
Gentlemen, how are we? How is your fall? I don't know. I don't know where we go from here. Do we cut to the chase? What do we do? What do you want to take it from here?
When was the last time we talked?
September, like mid-September after Tenet. Tenet was the last episode.
Okay, and, so it's been 2 months. It's been two months.
And so it's like every, I don't know, I feel like I'm sort of off my game here. And I was thinking about the last episode. Do you remember the last episode? You wouldn't remember. This is before your time, Sonny. The last episode of The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. And the last episode was him actually just sitting on a bar stool on the stage and a stool on the stage and chatting with the audience and reminiscing about, you know, the good old days and old episodes. I don't know if they turned completely into a clip show, but it kind of was. And it was like the greatest episode of the last episodes was the penultimate one, where they had like Bette Midler singing to him and he had Mel Brooks on. He had the original guests that were on the first show were back for the second to last show. It was like Mel Brooks and Tony Bennett.
I always thought that was the last show because I did not watch them in real time. I always thought that show with Bette Midler singing to him was actually the final show. That was not the final show. There was one where he just sat there
very casually and just chatted with, you know, the audience and looked back on his career. And I feel like that's this show. So, you know, kind of a letdown is what I'm saying.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. So Sonny, you were going to say something.
I was just curious when the last time we talked was. That's all I wanted to know. And then you went on an extended thing about Johnny Carson.
I did, waxing nostalgically. JVL.
Who is Johnny?
I'm sorry. Can you actually explain to me who Johnny Carson is?
He was on television, but on like kidding. regular mainstream, like on a network. He was on like NBC. Is that the last time you ever watched Channel 4?
He was on Peacock.
Is that like Netflix? I don't know what that is.
What is Channel 4 in Dallas? What is NBC in Dallas? Is it 4?
No idea. I have no idea what the actual networks are here. So we have cable. We have Spectrum cable here, and it's fine. It works fine.
Oh yes,
but like Spectrum. but the actual cable channels. I mean, like we have a cable package, except it runs through our internet, and it sucks. As a result, it's not like the cable box, you know, it runs through our Apple TV and it sucks amazingly badly. So the only time I ever really watch it is when there's something live.
Can we not do consumer complaints
that I want to watch?
Sonny's cable.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize we had better things to talk about here. Please.
Could we just start by telling people to stop what they're doing right now, pause the show and go to subbeacon.com.
Just go to subbeacon.com.
Just go to subbeacon.com because the show is moving.
Subbeacon, all one word.
All one word. The show is moving. It's moving to subbeacon.com. This is the only important piece of information. We'll do an actual show for you later, but we are leaving the warm embrace of the Washington Free Beacon with gratitude for all they have done for us. And we are going to Patreon, where you can pay as little money as you want.
You can do $100. $100
or as much.
$100 or as little.
You could do $5 a month. You can do $1 a month. If you listen to this show and you are, say, a priest or a student or somebody who has lost their job due to COVID, you don't have to pay anything. All you have to do is email me or Vic or Sonny, and we will comp you. So there is
email JVL.
Yeah.
Don't email me because if you email me with your handout, I'm going to ask questions. JBL, well, I'm just not.
So anybody who's listening to the show, who would like to continue listening to the show, can do it for free if they want to.
Can I just say something for our priest friends, for our friends who are in the clergy, I would say you can also say, you know, in the announcements section of your mass, which usually should come after the communion, and you tell them this week's poor box collection is for a subscription to the Subbeacon.
That works for me.
That's all they know.
Or that. So we'll do this again. Subbeacon.com. It couldn't be easier, right?
SUBBEACON.com.
Subbeacon.com. Just go there.
No hyphen. It's just Subbeacon.com.
And as Sunny and I were trying to set up this... As Sunny and I were trying to set up the stupid thing, I thought it'd be funny to have different membership tiers. And so there is a Vic tier and a Sunny tier and a JVL tier. But all of that is an elaborate gag. There are no different tiers. You can still get dishwasher advice no matter how much or little you give to us.
I do think we should have one tier, which is that if you pay us $10 a month instead of the $5 a month, we read ads to you. We actually do the ad reads.
We call you.
I think that's actually a thing we should do.
Oh, yeah, no.
On the show. We
have voicemail in my voice. I can do a voicemail recording for a certain price.
As Gene.
Oh, yeah. No, that's if you do the lifetime subscription, which is a one-time subscription.
It's $1,000.
$10,000 for one time, but you get all the benefits.
And you get it's like Cameo, but with Vic doing Gene Shalit.
So it's a million times worse than Cameo. A million times worse than Cameo, but we'll do it for you for any amount of money.
For the celebs. Okay. Yes.
Come and follow us over to the new home. Please don't get freaked out by the fact that it's on Patreon and that there's money involved. I really will comp everybody if I have to do that. And then I'll just pay Vic out of my own pocket.
JVL will walk you through the process of getting it from Patreon to your podcast app, right? Is that right, JVL?
I'm going to post a blog post about this on the Patreon because Patreon is also going to function as essentially it's the community site people have always wanted to have from us where we can put show notes and stuff like that.
Can they talk to each other on it? I guess can they exchange comments?
Can they? Let's say their names, Vic. You mean our people? Can our people all have a community and talk to each other? Yes.
Can we call the community area galley slaves?
Wow.
I guess. Maybe. Wow. I don't know.
Do people even understand what galley slaves is? Is that
two people? I'd say one or two people.
Robert Little does. Wow. Robert Little gets that. I bet anything Robert Little remembers the galley slave stuff. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So come with us to Subbeacon, guys. It's going to be great. Vic, how was your weekend?
Wait, doesn't that mean the show's not dead?
Yes, it means the show is not dead.
You and I made this happen,
Victorino. There was an actual petition, a change.org position. It had to be presented to the White House.
It was very sad.
It didn't get enough signatures, frankly. I thought we shut everything down, but you guys were like, we'll do it.
That tells me that's about how many people listen to the show. 300. But thank you. I'm doing fine.
I literally have not spoken to you in forever, Vic.
That's true. I don't know where to begin. What we thought it might be funny for the first part of this very unorthodox, unusual final episode of the Subbeacon, as it is right now, is to discuss just what we've been doing during this pandemic shutdown for the last month, really since September.
Yeah.
So we could do that.
I was saving American democracy. What did you do, Vic?
The same, but from the other direction. Sorry.
I was committing war crimes for Reagan on the video games on Call of Duty. It was great.
How did I spend the lockdown? And I'll have to say that I spent
have a thing written down.
I can't do this anymore.
It makes me angry because I haven't prepared for this at all.
So what did I do during the pandemic in the shutdown? I went out to restaurants and I went drinking with friends a lot. That's what I did.
So no difference.
So no difference, really. You know, I hung out with my fellow knights at the Knights of Columbus and drank with them. I am a fourth degree knight now.
What did you have to do to progress from third degree to fourth degree?
I can't tell you. That's a secret.
Was it an elephant walk?
Nothing like that. It's not a fraternity.
It's the Simpsons episode with the stone cutters. Yes. Did you have to drag the stone of achievement?
There is something involved, but,
isn't it literally a fraternity, Victorino?
Yeah, but not like that. Not like that.
It's only in the seminaries that they do that.
Oh my gosh! Whoa. Look at that. What kind? You know what? I read the McCarrick report. Yeah, that's terrible. That's terrible.
All the priests are canceling their sub-beacon.
It was just cuddling. Okay, that's fine. That's what the report said. It was just so you just slept together. Okay. Other than that, I'll tell you what I've been working on when I'm not working. Is I have Will Shortz's A Year in Crosswords, and I have been wondering, so it's 365, and I wonder what will happen first, that we get through this pandemic or I finish the book first, because I'm pretty good at those crosswords.
So the whole book or just one of the crosswords?
The whole book, I am crushing it, except like it goes easy, medium, and hard, and sometimes the hard, I can take maybe a week because I'll go away from it, I'll come back, and it's amazing how you think, I have no answers to this clue, and then boom, it just comes to you like an epiphany. The only problem is the book, which I got from Amazon, is a collection of 365 crosswords from the year 2010. So, like, the clues are like AOL competitor,
Prodigy,
Yahoo.
Wait, oh,
Earthlink, you know what was Yahoo?
One of the answers was Netcom. MSN. Netcom. Mm, there's another one about doing like business online, and it was like e-tail. And then, here's one: Sporty Spice's nickname.
Wait, so was
Sporty,
this
Sporty Spice's? Sporty Spice.
Remember was her. This a remaindered book that you found somewhere, or was this a regift that somebody finally?
No. I ordered it on Amazon.
And you ordered the 2010 on purpose?
It was the most recent one that I could find.
Okay. So let me get this straight. Mm-hmm. You're doing a 10-year-old crossword book and hanging out at the Knights of Columbus.
Hold on,
Lodge.
I got more.
So what you're telling me is that you turned 75 during the pandemic.
Yes. Oh, it's so crazy because like sometimes like on a Sunday, like on a Sunday morning, you know, I'm sitting there, having coffee and the kids are doing their own thing. So it's just me and Kate. And then she's reading the paper, talking to me about stuff. And I'm looking at the crossword with my coffee, just reading it quietly. And then I'll look up and I'll ask her about a clue and then see what she says. And I said, this is what it's going to be like. I thought it was going to be in 20 years, but it's happening now. And that's really the conversation, is like looking at the crossword and talking like this. What do you think is the answer to this? And of course, one of the clues, here's something I haven't heard in a while regarding the internet, DSL. Remember DSL? Oof. Yeah.
Mm.
Not the other DSL.
Mm. What?
You mean the internet DSL?
You can ask. And he knows what that stands for. Okay. Sonny's shaking his head. It's
right under the bus.
Oh. So anyways, it's the kids. It's
14, market.
JVL, after our time. It's after our time. And watching, I finally finished. I caught up to a Succession on HBO. Sonny, did you watch Succession?
So Succession is a show that my wife and I tried to watch. I really want to get into it because I love the GIFs of it that I see on the internet. I love the GIFs, and the GIFs are the key. It's the soul of a series. If you are a series and you have good GIFs, then you'll be something that's worth watching, I think. But I have not been able to watch it because I watched the first episode with my lovely wife, Beth, and she was not into it. And frankly, I wasn't that into the first episode either, but I was like willing to keep going.
Yeah, trust me.
It's amazing. And she was not. So like the problem is I cannot commit to watching an entire season of television without buy-in from my partner. It just doesn't work for us time-wise.
I convinced Kate to actually, we got through, and by the time you hit to the second season, you just could not wait to see what was going to happen regarding, you know, the Brian Cox plays the
Murdochian character. It's only two seasons, right?
Only two seasons, and I think it's seven episodes a season. But Brian Cox is sort of the Murdochian character, and he has to select sort of an heir because, you know, he thinks he's got to go. But wait a minute, maybe he's not going to go. And it's Shakespearean and I mean, you know, children,
well, it's literally
siblings,
King Lear,
siblings,
right?
Yeah, like, siblings who mostly hate each other. Sometimes they don't. It's amazing to see a world where, I mean, the, you know, they have where it's like real, like it's not celebrity rich money. It's actual billions and billions, you know, level of wealth. And yet, are they really ever really happy? No, not really. You know, I mean, it's amazing. Here we are. Look at me with my little den here, and I'm clearly happier than those characters. But it is great to see. Kate's complaint in the first season was it was hard for her to find somebody that was sympathetic, except for Cousin Greg, who is sort of us, like the outsider looking in.
Oh, but see, he was the worst character from the first episode. The dork who like
you wait
doesn't have any idea what he's doing.
You wait. He comes. He is a big role later on. Anyway, it's great. Brian Cox is in it, and of course. His brother, who he is, does not in speaking terms, is James Cromwell, also great. Both, yeah. You know, and two very stubborn Scottish brothers. And so I've been watching that. And now, of course, The Crown is back. And I'm watching The Crown. And I think it's wonderful. Charles Dance plays Lord Mountbatten, Uncle Dickie, and he's fantastic. But really, this is the season that involves Princess Diana. And
what is The Crown? I hear people talking about the show all the time.
Queen Elizabeth. This is the story crown. Of beginning with Queen Elizabeth's reign in 1947. And now we're in the late 70s. So it's I won't give away what happens.
It's early 80s. It's
now the, early it's 80s. And the idea
the, it's it the rise is of Maggie
the
Thatcher.
Actress. Yeah. So Gillian Anderson plays Margaret Thatcher. And
from X-Files?
Yes. She sounds just like Thatcher, but the mouth thing is weird.
I like.
So you're watching it. Sonny, you're watching it.
Yeah. No, I've watched the first half of the most recent season. I've watched the
I'm not even
there. Episodes.
I am.
I think Gillian Anderson is terrible.
Oh, no, really? Did you
I think
like,
she's total yeah. TV actress. Total TV oh, wow. actress. Just like. Wow. Just doing a bad
I was getting
SNL
a little nervous, but I'm
season.
Giving her a pass. I think Prince Charles is great. He's more sympathetic, I think, than real Charles.
He's way more sympathetic than the real Charles.
But of course, the Princess Diana, she's lovely.
Yeah, and Anthony Edwards.
What?
Anthony, have you guys never seen the SNL skit where Anthony Edwards is playing Princess Di? It's fantastic. You no. should.
Really?
That's all I can think of whenever I see her on The Crown is, oh, that's Anthony Edwards.
This actress, much more, I find, attractive up my alley than the real Princess Diana. Anyway, so she was 18. I didn't know this. She really was 18 when he...
She was young, yeah.
I don't know how many, I forget how many years apart they
Careful.
Were. Yes. I'm just saying.
Vic's very into
so
it, is what he's saying.
If I were the Prince of Wales, I cannot imagine.
And I could have anyone.
And I could have
would
anyone.
I get an 18-year-old?
Literally anyone. Why Camilla? I don't understand. Your soulmate, Camilla? Really?
In the UK?
What was that?
What's the age of consent in the UK? Why settle for something old and haggard like 18?
Prima nocte. No, but, you know, it's amazing, and it's true in real life that he preferred Camilla over Diana, and it's like, really? Okay. I've said my piece. And that's what I've been doing. I've been playing the
You don't work much, do you?
No, I'm just saying when I'm not working.
You watch a lot of TV.
No, but this is over the last, I'm only two episodes into The Crown. So that's only two episodes in The Crown.
It's been 2 months, JBL. Yeah, it's not like we're going to the movies. I would not give him too much grief.
I'm trying to remember what happened over the last 2 months. Was it a heavy news environment?
Nah,
or were things
fine.
Just sort of moving slowly? There was a lot of
that's
you
why.
And I work in the same office, Sonny. I feel like we had a lot that we were doing.
Well, technically, I work in Texas.
Yeah, we have a lot of young writers who work very hard, and Succession's been around for many years now. So
and let's be honest, Stephanie Wang does most of the editing.
She's great, and So that was it. And I've been picking up the running. I do about three times a week. I'm running between 5 and 5.5 miles. So the pains are much more pronounced now. Like the shins, the whole thing, I'm feeling that. And
shin splits are the worst.
I guess that's what it is. And amazingly, I'm not losing any weight because I have not curtailed diet. So it's keeping me in balance. I would say between that and the nights on weekends and that's where I am. And I'm working on Moonlight Sonata. So there you go. JVL.
How's your gout?
Fine. I think it's the running.
Have you had any flare-ups?
None. And I had, you know, on my anniversary, I had oysters and lobster and champagne and no gout. So there you go.
Did you have a cherry?
What did Kate have?
Drink.
Oh, she had a piece of meat. She had a piece of meat. It was a filet mignon. It was lovely. Mario, speaking of which, I've been doing a lot of cooking, and I made my own Caesar salad the other day, including my own Caesar dressing. But
swimmers.
I had swimmers, and I thought of you because of a person we know. I had the swimmers out of the Cento can. Don't get them out of the jar. Get the can, like a tin. They were delicious. But
chances he is still alive.
Oh man, you're terrible. And the dressing I made. The only thing it was missing some creaminess, and I was trying to figure out how to make the dressing more creamy, and I figured out egg yolk. Thank you. The Caesar was just for me and Kate. And she said, this tastes like nothing I've ever had. Okay. So anyway, I'm done. I told you I'm done. This is it. This is what you get. What have you guys
been
up to?
Did you have the Caesar on your anniversary night?
I've been doing a bunch of stuff, mostly involving watching movies and reading books.
Is that when you guys
from my newsletter as culture editor at thebulwark.com. People should go to our Substack. And read us there. But I'm very excited because this week I for the first time in literally 3 years, I picked up a video game and I played a video game, guys. And I played the new Call of Duty. And let me tell you, it was everything I hoped it could be. It's Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. It's like Call of Duty : Black Ops : Cold War. And this is mostly a multiplayer game. People get this to play it online with their friends,
but you don't
random people.
I don't know about you. I don't like
strangers. I don't do that.
I think it's dangerous.
Internet people. Yes. I don't play with weird internet people. I don't play with Jim Swift. I appreciate Jim Swift's efforts to inculcate me into the cult of Call of Duty online. I don't do any of that. I just want to play the 5-hour campaign mode, the single player. That's all I want to do. And you know why I want to do it? I want to do it because the way that this was pitched to me by liberal, progressive ne'er-do-wells was this is Call of Duty lets you do war crimes for Reagan. And I was like, yes, I want to commit war crimes for the Gipper. I want to get in there and I want to throw some Iranian hostage takers off of roofs. And I did that and it was great.
Wow.
I want to have flashback episodes to Vietnam in 1968, and I want to take my minigun and I want to rake it through the village.
Minigun.
I can do that. That's fantastic.
You must have huge arms. Jesse the Body.
Well, it's on a helicopter. You pilot a helicopter.
I was thinking Jesse Ventura.
No, it's not Jesse Ventura. It's not Jesse Ventura style. I wanna be able to go to the Soviet Union. I wanna be able to go to the Ukraine, and I wanna infiltrate a Soviet training ground, and I wanna do battle in a mock-up American city and wipe out all of the Russians who are there trying to train to take over America. The whole thing was great. Wow, let me tell you, the whole thing
amazing.
It was like you know the show The Americans.
They went to Nicaragua. The one with the Nicaraguans training.
It's kind of like that. Except you get to play Americans instead of Russians. It's great.
That's the American. And plus, you're taking your orders from Ronald Reagan and not Kevin Spacey.
Ronald Reagan himself comes into the briefing room and he's like, we have to do this for America. I can't really do a Ronald Reagan accent. I would if I could. I can't. I'm not a Ronald Reagan impressionist. But it's like, you know what it is? It's like the I'll bring it back to SNL. You remember the SNL skit where they pretended that Ronald Reagan was like, where Phil Hartman is like on top of all of the nitty gritty of Iran-Contra.
Right.
That's exactly what it's Reagan like. Yeah, and that's what I'd like to imagine Reagan was actually like, that he was on top of all of the war crimes, that he was actually directing them and having the people do them.
And not Al Haig.
In his name. Al Haig is in this. And Al Haig is really? Al Haig is like, Mr. President, I don't think we should do this. I think it's, what if the media finds out? And Ronald Reagan is like, get the fuck out, Al Haig. Get the fuck out of here. We're going to do these war crimes. It's amazing. So anyway,
Al Haig was the
voice
of reason, huh?
He was the voice of cowardice. The voice of reason was Ronald Reagan. Never forget. The voice of reason was Ronald Reagan.
Well, I guess so anyway,
I had a great time playing this video game, and that's how I've spent the last 2 months.
Well, do you remember the Kevin Spacey as the president in Call of Duty, or one of our listeners gave me that game, and you have to be
was it Command and Conquer? Maybe
no. But Kevin Spacey is like he's giving you the orders, and now you need to do this.
No,
sorry,
nothing like that. This was creepy CGI Ronald Reagan.
You like those games. I want to get into those games because I think it's right up my alley. But this is funny to say, I can't kind of get motion sick playing the games.
Yeah, it's definitely So again, I haven't played a game in like 3 years, but the only games I have played in the last like 10 years have been first person shooters. Yeah. So after about 30 seconds of like reorienting myself to how the controllers work with the I was like, okay, no, I've got this. There's definitely that initial like wave of motion sickness, like, ugh.
Yes.
I am not in control of my eyes. Oh, but now it goes away very quickly. Oof. JVL, you have nothing to say about doing war crimes for Reagan? You're not?
No, I mean, it sounds great. Which PlayStation was it on? Is it the new one?
It's not the new one. It's not. I don't have
a PlayStation
5.
Is the new one even out yet? Or is it
the PlayStation 5 is out. The PlayStation 5 is out, but it is very hard to come by right now. Everybody wants one. Everyone wants one.
That's what I hear.
I'm sorry it's not Civ 17 or whatever, where you like make the bows and then you shoot the people, and then like 17 days later you have like a victory with an atomic bomb somewhere. I'm sorry it's not like
that. I was about to say it doesn't work like that. I was like, oh, that's pretty good actually. That's how I do it. Sorry.
Yeah.
JVL.
Right. No, I literally have been working like 15 hours a day every day for the last 2 years. So everything's good now. We made it. We won. We saved democracy. We're on the other side of it.
I don't know about that. Did we win? Did we really win?
Well, hard to say. I don't know. I'm trying to think if I have any like updates for you. We're taking Flash to the next level. So do you want a Flash update or not want a Flash update? So, he has been moved. He's still playing travel baseball, but there is a local pitching academy and he is signing up with them as well, where they just work out pitchers 3 days a week. And he'll be the youngest guy in the facility. The guy who runs it is a regional scout for Tampa Bay. In the last 3 years, he's had, I think, 4 kids drafted coming out of the pitching academy, 60 kids go on to play Division I ball. And so we took Flash over there for his tryout. And you know, he's throwing 70 miles an hour from major league distance. It's just forking insane. And
so you must be thrilled you're going to be retiring early.
No, I'm not. No, what you know what I hope for? Well, honestly, what in my perfect world, Flash will get the chance to play minor league baseball for 2 or 3 years. And in the same way that like some kids go and bum around, some trust fund kids will go and bum around Europe for a couple of years after graduation. Instead, he'll make $35,000 a year for 3 years playing, you know, riding in a bus and playing baseball, and then he'll go to law school or something. Like, doesn't that sound like a great way to spend ages 22 through 25?
Well, or that, or he goes pro.
Well, it is pro. I mean, it's being paid to play baseball.
Major league.
Yeah, well, I mean, sure, but nobody can, you never know who's going to make to the bigs.
I mean,
or not.
I'm sure if you talk, you know, any of these pro players, you know, they were probably all thinking the same thing, or the parents probably thought the same thing at some point. I don't know. Maybe they have parents who were like, oh, no, we knew from the beginning he was going to be, I don't know, you know.
Yeah, it was crazy. I think he gave up 2 hits or 3 hits this travel season. He batted 850 or something insane like that. I mean, it really, it's kind of silly to watch.
I don't know what 850 means, but I'll assume it's big.
It's good. Okay. Batting 850 is good.
That's great.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, we've all basically survived, and we have a vaccine in sight, and people are going to subbeacon.com. And you know what? After we get off tonight, we're going to tape a little short episode that we're going to pop up over on subbeacon.com.
We are?
And yeah, just like 10 minutes. Just like 10 minutes, because I'm going to tease it right now. I have made a lifestyle decision for myself.
Oh.
Making some changes. Mm.
I'm getting scared.
One big change. And no, I will pants. Explain that to you. Mm-hmm. No, oh. More. What do you mean? I will explain that to you guys when we do our micro episode that people will be able to find on our Patreon at subbeacon.com, basically as soon as they finish listening to this episode.
Does it involve Shuffer Huffer?
No. No.
Powdered cheese.
No.
Okay.
It's going to be amazing. It's going to be, I'm going to blow your minds. It's going to be so great. So, all right. That's all I have. Did we want to talk about like our things that we watched, or did you guys just do that?
Did when you were zoning out.
Yeah, we kind of did that. This is the problem with your whole, like, we can just talk about things that we did. Then that fills the
32 minutes. That was 32 minutes.
All right. Well, do you want me to tell you what I watched? Because I watched something for us.
Yes. We were asking what you've been doing.
I watched 2 hours worth of a movie, and I watched the live action Star Blazers.
Oh, wait. So you didn't get the cartoon. You got the Japanese movie with the actors?
Yes. From 2010.
I was so
Space Battleship Yamato.
I was hoping that you got the reboot of the, because there's a reboot of the anime. All right, Sonny, we'll see you later. You can go mix another drink if you want. I thought you were going to get the reboot of the animated version, because that's supposed to be really good.
I didn't even know there was such a thing. I got the
live
action.
It's very hard to figure it out on Amazon, but go ahead. And it's live action. And
it's dubbed. It's not subtitled. Mm. I sent you a picture. Did you not see the picture I sent you?
Yeah, I saw. I didn't click it on to look at the close up. I thought it was the animation one.
So it's very, very Japanese, of course. Like, for instance, Captain Okita wears these white linen gloves at all times. Very, very much like, you know,
they're a clean people. Way. Yes.
Yeah. There's this moment early in the. Early in the movie where he addresses the crew and he says, if we fail in this, we all die and everyone on Earth dies too. Keep that in mind while you perform your duties. That is the most Japanese motivational speech.
Yeah, yeah. I believe that ever. Was the same speech given on Iwo Jima.
Right. Yeah, okay. It's just crazy. Mm-hmm. So there is... It's, you know, and it's all about... I don't know how much you remember the early, early setup of the series, Victorino. But yes. So this series is done in 1974, mm-hmm. 1978. Mm-hmm. Sorry, 1977.
Okay.
And it is about this alien race, which is sending radiation bombs.
Yes, the Gamelons.
To make Earth Earth uninhabitable, which again, it's all like Godzilla. Mm-hmm. Everything in Japanese popular culture is all fallout from Nagasaki.
And fear of nuclear
war. And so they need to go across. Anyway, it's not worth recapitulating the entire thing, Victorino, but for the five people listening who, like you and I, had Star Blazers as a major influence on their childhood.
Yes.
Because it was the greatest space opera of all time.
It's the greatest.
Can I interject and ask a question here? Because I am unfamiliar with Star Blazers. Is it better than Dragon Ball Z?
Oh, for goodness sakes.
Yes.
How would you even know? Did you even watch Dragon Ball Z? You don't know.
In my time, there were two choices for Japanese space opera. It was either Star Blazers or Battle of the Planets. And that was like the poor man's Star Blazers.
Second question. Is this better or worse than Cowboy Bebop, which I now own on Blu-ray and need to watch the whole series of? Just
SMDH.
I don't know what that is.
No, JVL, I need to know, were the bad guys painted blue?
So here's what I want to say.
Questions you'll only hear on the Subbeacon.
I felt, there are people who got such an enormous charge out of seeing the Christopher Columbus Harry Potter for the first time because they were like, oh, I can see this thing from my childhood, right, and it doesn't matter that it's shitty. I just love seeing it. And that never did anything for me. But seeing Star Blazers in live action really did.
Okay.
Like seeing an actual CGI space battleship Yamato. Okay. Schwing.
Right.
Right. I mean, it was.
Wedding
night.
The Gamelons.
Take this walk with me.
Okay. All right.
The wave motion gun.
Yes.
Still, how does the wave motion gun work? You got one guy on the command deck who has a trigger with an actual trigger for his finger with a stock, and he lines it up visually. That's how he fired through an optical reticle.
That's great. That's great.
The jackets with the leather jackets with the arrows pointing down.
Yeah, they were cool.
Those things are so cool. Yeah, I wanted one myself.
Maybe you could. Yeah, I mean, look, if they had them, they must be out there somewhere.
Now, I would say the movie version is not all canon. Do you remember the ship's doctor, Victorino?
Yes, doctor. I was going to say Dr. Zaius. No, doctor something else.
I think it's like Zeno or something.
Yeah.
He's this weird, little fat guy with really beady eyes. He's the only one without the anime eyes.
Yes.
Right? And he has a cat and he's always drunk. So in this, the doctor is a girl, but she does have a cat and she's always carrying a bottle of sake around. Ooh. She's always like half drunk.
Is she an attractive doctor?
Yeah, she's okay. This was the weirdest narrative choice. I'm just trying to memorize it
for later. I mean, when I watched the movie,
The weirdest narrative choice is that the Derek Wildstar Mark Venture stuff, which is the central character.
This is the best part, Sonny. Go ahead.
That is not there at all. Neither of those characters are in there.
What?
And instead, what we have is the Derek Wildstar is a guy, and the Mark Venture character is a girl who Victorino Vic
yes I'm Vic. Here yes I'm waiting
oh boy
oh the actress all right I forget this is what we're talking about oh. We're talking about motion
Mesa Kuroki.
I'll look into it. Okay.
Oh, Victorino, you should look into this. And they have a whole Sam and Diane thing going on.
Oh, that's so great. Okay.
So as I said, it's not all canon. The Gamelons are nothing like the thing. They're not even humanoids. They're much more like the Independence Day, you know, where they're a hive-minded alien.
No, I love that.
And there's a tentacle monster. So
of course there is. That's standard.
I'm kidding. There isn't actually a tentacle monster.
Oh,
I see. When you see Yuki, boy, okay. Howdy.
All right.
Victorino, hold on. Text you a picture?
Yeah, okay, well, later.
Save that for the subbeacon.com.
That's right. Okay.
I guess we'll do that. Yeah. I will text, you know what? I'll text and we'll do the live reaction to her when you're on subbeacon.com.
Here we are.
There we
go. Here's the problem with this iteration of the show that we have decided to do right now. There was some discussion beforehand. Should we do a thing where we talk about all the same stuff, or should we all just talk about what we've been watching? And like, I feel like if I had known that this is what we were watching, I would have had a lot to contribute here about like, why is
Sonny, there is no way in the world that you would have
What on earth is going on right now? I don't understand. You know, that would have, I feel like that would have really helped the conversation here, but what do I know?
People just need to go to subbeacon.com.
Okay.
That's all. That's all that matters.
You want to do the look back on this episode where you talked about favorite moments for you. You were talking about this on text.
Yeah, no, I think that we should each discuss our one favorite moment from the show. Vic, what was your favorite moment from the Subbeacon?
I wrote a couple down, as you know.
Substandard.
As you know, I have a script here. I have a couple thoughts, okay? I just want to share the couple thoughts. One is, I thought that we turned a corner with our first Thanksgiving episode in 2016. Can you imagine that? In 2016, we were talking about rest stops, and much like the Star Blazers thing, Sonny, you were going crazy saying, this is
no
America saved me, I think is what you said. And I thought, you know what? I think we might have something here. Okay, that was my thought. Secondly, the time that JVL trolled Sonny on Martin Scorsese, that was amazing.
I don't remember that. What was that?
That was, and it worked. And you were genuinely angry on that episode because we were all together in the studio. We're in together, and I could see you. And
it takes a lot to get me angry, as you know. So,
okay. And then I don't know whose idea was the candy draft. Was that yours or was that JVL to come up with the candy draft?
My idea.
Because I remember, I mean, it was so kind of crazy that I remember sometime after that, I was walking down Union Station and there was that long line to get to the Northeast Regional, as there always is. And a guy on that line stops me as I'm walking by and he just goes, oh, by the way, I just want to say your candy draft sucked. And it was somebody, I didn't know everybody didn't love Nerds. But anyway, the fact is I didn't know who this guy was, but he knew who I was from, I guess, photo or whatever. And wanted to just make a joke about the candy draft.
You walked through a small room, so the gravity shifted towards you.
Because of your giant head. Remember, I got spotted, and people usually I can see you, and they're like, "Oh, well, I was like, 100 feet away," and they saw the head. They saw the head. And you know what though? I remember when we were in that tiny, tiny closet back in the old standard office, and we actually would drink, and one time I think we had a little bit too much. That's what I remember. But anyway,
one time. No, the best
all
best.
Of us, all
yeah.
three of us.
No, or no, just... I remember Sonny, because Sonny started to lean back and get like sort
of. Remember
like,
when Sonny fell off his chair?
Yes, I do. All right, go ahead,
JBL.
I don't have anything. Those were all good memories. You know what? Always look forward, never look back. Our best stuff is in front of us.
The number one thing that ever happened on this show was me drafting king size bars in the Halloween candy draft. That was the greatest moment in the history of all drafts.
Well, it's your greatest con, because
no, it was smart and it was outside of the box. And we had not created any sort of rules, really. So I was able to manipulate them. And you guys lost because you didn't think as smart as me. That's fine.
This is like the New York Giants drafting an M1 Abrams tank with the first pick in the NFL draft.
It's completely unrelated.
Says, wait a minute, that's a machine. It's not like, yeah, but we're gonna tape a football to it. And just you try to stop it.
This is not the candy size draft. It's not the candy size draft, Sonny.
I'm sorry.
I pick everything that comes in a wrapper.
There's a reason I won the draft and you guys lost it, and it was because of that number one pick. So,
okay. Are you ready for this now?
God.
I also won all the other drafts because I win all the drafts because I'm the best.
I did put together since again, this is the last episode of this particular podcast, questions.
Before we move to
subbeacon.com, things you guys discussed on the show that I had no idea what you were talking about, and I just nodded along. Okay. And now I'm.
Books.
Here we go. Thank you. I can't see you, but I heard that. Masking. What is masking?
It's when you go to a theater and you put a mask on your face and you sit there and you watch it.
Okay.
It's when you take them into your basement and it puts the lotion in the basket and then you get out the duct tape.
I got another one.
It's when you go to a theater and the curtains come down to create a proper anamorphic or widescreen or whatever size for the screen, so you don't have these kind of like weird gray black bars on the side or above and below. You have actual black.
Okay. Next question. What is anamorphic? Sorry. Never mind. Moving along. Mary Sue. I'm not really sure I get that one. Is she like the main actress? Is she like
this? The like how you faked your way through AP English?
Basically. I didn't really care. Okay, so those are basically all my questions. I have others, but I think I'm too embarrassed to ask, so we're just going to...
Ask them. Ask at least one.
Kayfabe, does that mean it's real but not real?
JVL, do you want to define kayfabe?
Yeah. No, Vic, that's basically right. It's the pretend storyline. The kayfabe is the pretend storyline.
MacGuffin. It's like a distraction. It's like a distraction from
it's the bar and the red herring. Come on.
That's the thing. I asked about the bar thing and you said MacGuffin, and I thought, oh, that's another thing about MacGuffins. I don't know what he's talking about. And then of course I go there and I see the bar and it's actually called MacGuffins as a reference to the MacGuffin, which is a red herring.
It's not a red herring. It's a plot device that doesn't really matter to keep everything moving forward. Right. So like, in modern times, you could look at Pulp Fiction and like what is in the suitcase is a MacGuffin.
Okay. See? If only I knew it back then. Now it's pointless. Okay. I'm ready to go through corrections and shout outs. Are we ready?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Shout outs, no corrections. Doug Tenapple, I received his latest book on Bigfoot Bill. Doug, if you're listening, thank you. It's gorgeously illustrated. Sam Huffines, I like to say that because I think he's from Texas. I received a brisket from the Salt Lick. Thank you very much. It's still in my, it was frozen and it remains in my freezer because I need a full day. I want to do a slow cook of that. I mean, they tell you to put it in the oven, but I'd like to do it on the grill at a very low temperature. I don't know. I'm looking into it, but I can't wait. Ian Brody, I saw on Twitter, promised that if we did an episode, he would send us a bottle of Canadian whiskey, which apparently this particular brand won the World Whiskey Competition. Yep. I would recommend you just send it to me, Ian.
Send that to Texas.
That would be
Sunny.
Address later. Thank you.
Texas.
For Vic Mattis. Thank
Texas,
you.
To Sunny Bunch care of Texas. We'll get it here.
I appreciate when I had sent out the tweet about the final chapter and everybody was all upset and we really weren't sure what was going to happen. We all had to work this out, but I was making a joke about Halloween, the final chapter, and listener Kelly Bowers got that and a couple other listeners did too.
Halloween or Friday the 13th?
Friday the 13th. See,
you blew it.
I blew it.
That's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened on this
Friday
show.
The 13th, the final chapter that was followed by Friday the 13th part 6. So, we find a way, or at least we try to find a way to keep it going.
Life finds a way.
2009's Friday the 13th, probably the best one. It had all the quadrants crushed, all of them.
Underrated.
Including easy to understand. Yeah. Okay. Well, then,
I have a shout out.
Oh, please, Sonny.
I have been drinking, and this is why I'm basically incoherent at this point. The Busker Irish Whiskey, triple cask, triple smooth.
You finally did it.
Proof. I've been a listener, a reader of the Bulwark sent a bottle over, and I am a Irish whiskey skeptic.
Yeah,
I am not were. I'm not a huge fan, but I have to say this is a very smooth, very drinkable brown liquor. I wouldn't say it like is going to supplant any of my, you know, it's not Buffalo Trace, which is still the best, but this is very good. The Busker Irish Whiskey. I quite like it.
Honey, you should try Red Breast. That's another great one. Trust us. These guys, the person who sent it to you, he knows what he's talking about. Okay. All right. Good. Good. That is all the time we're giving to this episode. Questions, comments, complaints, compliments.
This iteration, really. It's not just this episode.
This iteration. Tweet us at Sunday Bunch at Victorino Mattis. Again,
or
be sure
go to subbeacon.com and right. Leave a comment because that's our new hangout place.
Where we go now.
Again, be sure to subscribe to us at subbeacon.com. We're there. Tell your friends. Until next time.
Subbeacon.com.
Yeah, I don't know in the new iteration what stays and what changes. I was thinking, you know, like it would be we can go from like Three's Company to Three's a Crowd because that went over pretty well, you know.
Anyway. So here's what I propose. Hold on to the stinger. We're going to do the little stinger as a separate episode over at the new place. So go to subbeacon.com right now, and instead we're going to close the show out with a song written for us by our buddy Scotty Rock. See you guys at subbeacon.com in like 30 seconds.
Another podcast gone, one final episode. I didn't know that this would be my last download. No dudes chatting or flash batting, just goodbye. Now here's a question, can I lessen such a crime? I don't mean to sound cynical, so I'm sure it's fine. I hope you had the part of your life. So make a quadrant graph, big boy reviews take time. And never forget king size is the best size. Gene and Georgetown envy soft white collar hands. So just stay calm and do not buy the Bosch brand. They're rather unreliable and very far from fine. I hope you had the part of your mind. Unforgivable, won't know which watch to buy. I hope you had the part of your life. You all stuck to your principles, and so I'm sure it's fine. I hope you had the part of your life.